The Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Can we get some common sense all up in here?
Hi, y'all. I'm Val, the producer, and we're back again to wish everyone a safe and fast recovery through these trying times. We want you guys to know how thankful we are for our amazing podcast family and dedicated listeners that make all of this possible. Mock and Daisy are out this week, but don't worry, because we've got a treat for you. We wanted to look back at some of the good parts of 2020 this year so far, so we decided to revisit some fan favorites to keep y'all excited for what's to come. If the news has been stressing you out lately, now's your time to kick up your feet and relax. We hope you enjoy.
Listen, I am down to be polite and respectful, but here is how I'm going to do that. I am going to be, like with Caitlyn Jenner, happy to refer to Caitlyn Jenner with she and hers pronouns.
Yeah. Because she has picked a lane.
She has picked a lane.
She's picked a lane. And she is now a she.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not some jur. Like, what the hell is that? Right. What's a jur?
I know. It's out of control. Yeah. So I said, that's one thing I'm willing to do is absolutely I will use male and female traditional pronouns for anybody who asks, right? Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. I will do that. Now, some people won't even do that, right? Like, there's some people who are so just like, I am resisting this nonsense.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and if you
mean resisting the fact that Caitlyn Jenner is a woman,
right. And they'll continue to call her Bruce and him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I am down to clown.
And then there are some people that'll say that's hate speech. You should go to jail for that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with that. If you're going to live your life as a male, you want to be referred to as a male, or vice versa. I'll use those male female pronouns.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But pick a freaking lane.
Exactly.
Pick a lane.
And so that's the first thing I said is that I'm going to do that, but I will not be compelled to use they as a singular pronoun when referring to someone like, for example, Sam Smith.
Sam Smith, singer who came out as, what do they call that?
Non-binary.
Non-binary, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's recap what that is again, because I don't understand I still have problems with that. That's somebody that doesn't know what they are from day to day?
It's not that they don't know, it's that they know they don't fit into a male or female category.
But they do, though, because they just have to look down and see that they do fit. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to pretend to be non-binary right now so that I can have this argument with you.
Wow. Okay.
I am non-binary, and sex is different than gender. So just because I may have a vagina doesn't mean that some days I'm not a dude.
All you gotta do is look down. And Mock, are not a dude because you don't have, I'm assuming, you don't have a penis.
What I said in that retweet, I just said, I'm not going to use they because that doesn't make grammatical sense, first of all.
You're right.
Because I'm not caving to this ridiculous demand. But mostly, I will not be compelled to use words like she and z and whatever the other pronouns are.
And I kind of feel like this whole community is like, okay, let's make up all these new things. And then if they don't do it, we'll call them transphobic.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened weekend long.
Because it's like the new thing. It's the new obic. It's the new ist.
Yeah.
It's the new something to call everybody if they don't bow to all my wishes to just, you know, because I'm just going to change every day. Mm-hmm. And they have to call me whatever it is I want to be called. And I have the power now, because if they don't do all of these things, then they're transphobic. You're a bad person.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a bad person. You need to pick a freaking lane.
Yeah. But see, the non-binary people like Sam Smith don't want to pick a lane because they don't feel like they belong in either lane. They feel like they like this lane sometimes, and then other times they like this lane over here.
Okay, great.
And they're just veering in and out of traffic all day long.
Don't make everybody else live whatever it is that's going on in your head. And listen, it's a bending over backwards culture. They want us to bend to their will. I mean, it's kind of like that. Now, when we started this podcast, I said I sent Mock that article for transgender men. Pain of menstruation is more than just physical. Oh, okay. So these are women who are living their lives as men, right? They're biological women living their lives as men. And it's interesting to me because the whole article is like bitching and moaning about how these people are economically vulnerable and how they have lack of access to menstrual products and how, you know, they're not safe when they're getting them. And I'm like, why? First of all, My husband buys he's bought tampons from me in the past. So dudes can buy tampons. Second, if they present themselves as dudes, you can still buy a tampon. Second of all, if you're in a men's bathroom and there are no tampons, well, I mean, that goes without saying, there's probably not going to be tampons in there. Get your own.
Right.
And if it's too expensive for you, I find it interesting that now, all of a sudden, when dudes want to buy tampons, they want to make the price of tampons an issue. Don't you find that interesting? Like, for years as women, we've been like, God, they're expensive. Like, to each other, we're like, God, tampons are kind of expensive, right? And then all of a sudden now, dudes are people who are presenting themselves as dudes. Mm-hmm. Now they have a problem with the price. And now all of a sudden, you know, companies like Always and all these other feminine hygiene product companies are like, oh, maybe we should do something about the price. Looking at the Super Bowl halftime show through the lens of feminism, because a lot of people are like, it's just a halftime show. It's just a show. And so you looked at it through the lens of just, it's just a show and it's glitzy and it's pretty and there's lots of gold and silver, you know?
I was entertained.
Fine.
I don't listen to either of those women regularly because I don't. First of all, Shakira's voice makes me want to tear my ears off.
Well, she's a yodeler. You know, I feel like she is like a yodeler.
It's
don't you
if
think?
Kermit the Frog yodeled.
I'm Shakira. Was that
That's
accurate?
That's exactly how she sounds
to
me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. She yodels.
I don't like her voice.
I feel like if I had the goods and I could shake it like that, I could also be famous. It's not like you're going to be like, I aspire to be a stripper. That's what I want to be when I grow up. It's not like you're 8 years old and your mother says to you, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're like, oh my God, I want to be a stripper.
Right.
That's what I want to be when I grow up.
And it's certainly not something that any mom wishes for her daughter.
Yeah. So why is she doing that? Why is J-Lo doing that? And why is she doing it in front of her 11-year-old daughter?
That's what was amazing to me, is that her daughter was actually part of that show.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, her daughter has a way better singing voice than she
does. Yeah, because she's got her daddy's talent.
She's got
her daddy's singing talent. And you don't see her daddy up on a pole.
No, and that's just it. If you imagine actual singers performing at a halftime show, if you imagine, for example, Adele, who's the perfect example I like to use as someone who actually has singing talent and songwriting talent.
And doesn't need to get on a pole.
Well, and that's just it. If they had invited someone like Adele would have performed her music and people would have been talking about her music. And so I don't think that Shakira or J-Lo, at least from what I can gather from this performance, I don't think either of them care if they're known for their music.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly don't, right?
Yeah.
Because what they wanted to be looked at for and remembered for are their bodies and the way that they use their bodies.
Yeah.
So I guess if that is empowering to them, then they also need to be okay with men and my son, my 14-year-old hormonal son, ogling them in a way that objectifies them and their bodies.
Because they are choosing to be objectified only for what they look like. It is not for the abilities that they have. All it is their ability to shake their ass.
And which they do very well.
And bend over and show us their goods. Feminism, like, it's whack these days. They don't know what lane they are in.
They have no idea.
They have no idea what they're doing. They think that they're all, okay, so we're in this lane, whereas, you know, we love our body. We're doing the slut walk. Look at us. We're sluts.
Right. Rock the slut vote.
We're
That's
sluts.
Still a thing, I think.
Amber Rose doing the slut walk. We're so. And then in the other lane, they're don't look at our bodies. And then back in the other lane, they're, hey, we're going to free the nipple. Let's free those nipples. Woo! We're going to walk around naked. And then in the other lane, it's don't look at our nipples. You know, you're gross to look at our nipples.
And let's have Miss America get rid of the bathing suit competition.
Right?
I'm like, really? This is what we're worried about? We got J-Lo, like, having sex with a pole.
Yeah, it's like
at Super Bowl halftime.
We can't have swimsuits in Miss America because that's objectifying women.
I mean, that's what's so ridiculous
and
about
then
feminism.
And then you got Kim Kardashian on Instagram showing her ass and bouncing it up and down. It's like, what are y'all doing?
Just tell us how we're supposed to respond to the female body, because right now the messages are so very mixed.
Well, this is the thing. And you do it with girls, and little girls right now are being hypersexualized. I mean, that's I have a little girl, and that's why I don't let her watch this garbage, because I will teach her on my own that, you know what, it's not I don't want culture to teach her about herself or her body because they got it all wrong, you know, because I want her to grow up to not be a stripper. You know, I want her to grow up to be a scientist or an engineer or a teacher or a doctor or something that has, you know, importance. And I don't want her to grow up to think that she has to get, you know, naked just to have value, you know, because that's, I thought that's what feminism was about.
A fellow conservative, are we naming her?
Let's just, we can call her Shannon.
Okay.
You want to call her Shannon?
We can call her Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, who apparently is, she had, I should say, her own blog at the time. And she was very disappointed in the fact that I was such a whore. I mean, it's not sexual,
no,
like, at
mm-mm,
all. It's
no.
just a very sorority type of picture.
And I had a dress on that I would wear it to work.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty, it was kind of, it was, I say it's about as low cut as what I'm wearing right now.
Which is a V-neck.
And
it's
literally
just a V-neck.
I have zero cleavage. So there's nothing to see. I mean, you could see the same amount of stuff on a 14-year-old boy. So get bent, lady. Yeah.
So essentially, that's what I said
yeah.
in the original post. Well, she saw it and she took to her own Facebook page, Shannon did, and she said, and I quote, "Wow, the chicks on the right have lost their minds because I questioned their bubble blowing, uber leg bearing marketing strategy. I don't think blowing pink bubbles and acting silly along with this leg obsessed photo, note the camera angle, are the right thing to represent chicks on the right. These guys or chicks owe me an apology because I've had nothing but respect for them." This
yeah.
is after she basically calls us prostitutes.
Yeah, you're basically whores. You whores. You giant whores with your, like, leg grease.
Yeah. Then she started saying that
yeah,
we greased our legs.
Yeah. We just put moisturizer on them and they, you know, they looked really nice. And they looked pretty good in those photos. You
I mean,
know,
listen,
they looked
photos.
All right. Listen, I like those photos because they were from years ago. And as every year goes on, I look fondly upon old pictures because we look better and better in those pictures as I get older. That's all.
That very next day after we were talking to the girls about photo shoots was a story about how she lost that lawsuit to the tune of $8.4 million.
With an M. Yeah. So she, yeah. And she, now she was on like Inside Edition. She had to go on like, all, she, mm-hmm. she didn't have to, but she was on all these shows and everything talking about how this totally happened. And, but the jury unanimously was like, no.
Well, and that was the greatest part about it. So this guy, just to give you some background about the guy that she accused, highly decorated colonel, did tours in Iraq and, mm-hmm. and Afghanistan. He was about to be promoted, as I said. And then he was told by the Pentagon, this was back in the summer of 2013, that this chick Shannon accused him of raping her 30 years ago.
30 years.
When they were at West Point, and that there was an investigation. And he was like, wait, what?
Like, he probably, I'm sure he was probably like, who? What? Yeah.
And so you have often told me, like, when there's stuff that is going on with terrible people.
Yeah, I say karma. Listen, karma is real. Karma is a real thing. You just, it may take a day. It may take 5 days. It may take 5 years. It may take a lifetime. We may never see it. It may be something that happens with that person in the next, like, they may have to answer to God, you know?
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll see it. And then when all this happened, you looked at me and you were like, oh yeah, it's real. Karma's real.
She was still talking about us 5 years later. She said,
five years later,
because she was responding to a comment on her website. She said, they dress like prostitutes. Isn't that what the godless do? They are mean, low down, and carry themselves like tawdry tarts of the street.
Oh my God.
This is what she's saying about it. They encourage the sexual admiration of sweaty men.
Not just regular men, but the sweaty men. They have to be sweating,
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah. Of any standard, men who have no interest whatsoever in politics. Oh. I've never seen them rebuke a single man for their scandalous comments. Oh. Those two love to say, hey, we can't control what our readers say. I say nonsense. Of course you can. I do. They know they're cheap. Their readers are cheap. That's fine with me. The readers who like that kind of cheap thriller on the wide road to hell, and those two harlots are leading the way.
We're in the front, leading the way on that wide highway to hell. Listen, we've never seen one that's been quite as ridiculous as this, but we've seen some crazy out there with people just not it's conservatives against conservatives, and really women, a lot of women who are just really bitchy.
Which actually leads into another topic that's getting a lot of press right now, and that is the decriminalization of sex work.
Yeah.
And whether or not that is a thing that should happen. And what's interesting is I read an article about Toni Van Pelt, who is the leader of NOW, the National Organization for Women.
So she's sort of like the CEO.
Exactly. She's top dog. She's head honcho. Mm-hmm. She's
the queen biatch.
In charge.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
So she was at a recent hearing in D.C., and she said unequivocally that NOW, the National Organization of Women, will not support a bill that decriminalizes sex work. They are not in support of that, period. The end. That's where NOW stands.
Because she thinks it should still remain a criminal thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because she feels as though those women need to be protected somehow.
Yeah, she correlates sex work with human trafficking and with, you know, being a threat to girls and women.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So she testified about that, and she simply said, this is where NOW, the National Organization of Women, stands on this. Well, that came as a bit of a shock to several chapters of NOW.
Yeah,
and the leaders of the local chapters were very, very surprised to hear that that is where their organization stands on something that they don't necessarily agree with. And so, for example, there's one woman, Monica Weeks, who is the president of a local NOW chapter in D.C. She was absolutely shocked. And in fact, their little chapter was working on testimony in support of decriminalizing sex work. I tend to think that if you're an adult and you are a sex worker by choice, that I don't have any business saying that you're not allowed to do that.
You can't do that.
I don't like it. I don't like that any woman does it.
Yeah.
And I tend to believe that women don't really truly want to do it.
Yeah. It's kind of like, to me, it's like being a stripper, right? It's like we talked about in our other podcast. It's like, this is not something when you're 8 years old, you're like, I want to grow up to be a stripper.
Right.
I want to grow up to be a sex worker. I mean, this is not something that you...
It's not aspirational.
This is not something that you say when you're a little kid, this is something I want to do when I grow up. No, it's not. You're kidding yourself if you say this is something you want to do when you grow up. This is not. This is something that you end up doing because you just, you don't have an alternative.
Which is what's so funny to me about the fact that this is a fight on the left.
Yeah,
because these are the people who are like, choice, choice, choice. Yeah. A woman has to do whatever she wants to do with her body.
Yeah.
And yet here they are trying to deny women the choice of what they do with their bodies.
Like a profession.
Yeah.
Because it's a chosen profession. So it is a really, it's very interesting from that perspective. But then I still go back to the fact that it's so skeevy and gross.
Yeah. Why are we saying it's only legal right there in Vegas and nowhere else?
Yeah, but imagine if it were legal in a ton of other places.
But what about the people who say it could be regulated? These women would be more protected. There would be standards. There would be health screenings. All of this stuff would be part of the deal, right?
Oh, God, but then there'd be so many more women and so many more girls that were preyed upon in those situations. Because who runs the show?
Yeah.
In those situations, who really runs the show, right? It's usually a dude. It's usually a skeevy dude.
I know.
And it's somebody who is determining when you're going to do what, when. And it grosses me out. And then I always go back to the trafficking thing. You know, you're always going to have girls who are sucked into that against their will. And then they're put into those situations because they're put there because they didn't want to be put there. And then they feel trapped because how am I going to get out of this situation? Like, what falls under the umbrella of sex work?
Well, that's
Is it just prostitution?
Yeah.
If it's
Is it just the actual act of sex?
Yeah.
Or does that count when you're like, you know,
undressing, disrobing in front of a webcam and making tons of money? Because a lot of porn stars are starting to do that now, right? They're going into this whole, I'll charge X amount of dollars for you to look at me naked on a screen, and dudes are paying it.
Yeah.
I guess women are too, but people are paying it and they're making gobs of money doing this.
This is the thing. So like, maybe they would be like, well, I didn't go to med school, so I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
But like that, and I don't think that that's illegal. So there's obviously something about just the act of actual sex where you're trading sex for money that is illegal.
Listen,
but then I don't get
Because how different is a webcam than looking at a lot of crap on Instagram these days and on Twitter? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
come on.
It's like there's a lot of stuff I've seen with the Kardashians that's pretty close
to just as bad.
We hope you liked our recap of the year so far. And like always, we want to thank our amazing fans who leave the greatest reviews for us every week. Like Star Mary B, who says, "I love the googles you send me every day." And Mo Plants from Wisconsin, who says, "Don't miss a show. I love listening to you guys. Keep up the good work." And Greeny Cat, who says, "Also new to podcasts? Thanks to children who got me earphone iPods for Mom's Day. LOL. Walking my doggies and laughing over the hills. Y'all are great. So funny and spot on." And Stay Faithful, who says, "I'm a 24-year-old trans conservative man that has been listening to you chicks since the beginning. I will always be grateful and will never forget what impact you both bring to this world. Eternally grateful, Alex." We love hearing from y'all, so make sure to keep in touch and let us know what you want to hear the chicks talk about next. You can find them on Twitter and Instagram at chicksonright, at facebook.com/chicksontheright, or chicksontheright.com. And don't forget to tune in next week to hear Mock and Daisy talk about all the things.